Amen. Well, this week, I believe, is a week when the kids go downstairs. And so kids through fifth grade, you can go downstairs at this time as people head back to their rows. So kids through fifth grade, you could head downstairs. This morning, I'm just gonna share a few things. I'm gonna share what our community has experienced recently, and I want to give you a picture. I want to give you a picture just of this week in the life of Restoration Church. Last Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, I mentioned last week that Ray Shirley, 95 years old, was close to going home, meeting Jesus. Ray Shirley on Sunday night at age 95 went home to be with Jesus, reunited with his wife of, get this, 72 years at the feet of Jesus. He ran the race so well, and I remember hearing a story that his daughter shared with me, that when his wife got sick towards the latter years of her life, there Ray was a couple years earlier, a couple years younger, at probably 92, 93, down on the floor, taking care of his wife who was laying down. Paul says this to men, to husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That, to me, was a picture of what we're called to do and how we're called to live as men. He lived his life in the Lord's hands, had a deep, deep faith. And now he is present with the Lord, face to face. Fast forward to Friday night. I got the honor and the privilege of just being a part of Joel and Kate Van Zanten's wedding. I think that's like maybe the fourth or fifth time that's been said. I get the honor of even saying that for the very first time when they're standing in front of me, Joel and Kate Van Zanten. And I will say this about that wedding. It was one of the very few times when I was at a wedding where I forgot that I was at a wedding. It was so worshipful. I get chills just thinking about it. Like, the presence of the Lord was so thick in that place. And I just want to honor Brian and Jennifer Van Zanten, Joel's parents who are here, and grandparents. Two families that, Kate's parents as well, Derek and Kelly, that just invested in their kids' lives, invested in so many different people's lives. And there, after years, they got to bless their kids as they began their new life as husband and wife. It just was a beautiful, beautiful night. Powerful. And then on Saturday morning, I woke up to a call from Rick Vanderswag. And he simply said this to some of the men that were staying at his house, went for a ride, and they got into an accident. And then he said that Travis Goforth is dead. 19 years old. Travis was just baptized a couple months ago. There's a picture of his baptism. And I want to make one thing clear this morning. That at the moment that Travis died, Travis didn't die according to Scripture. It says that he was swallowed up by life. No more pain. No more rejection. Face to face with Jesus, because Jesus was his Lord and Savior. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and we sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies, heavenly bodies, so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. I love how Scripture says that, swallowed up by life. For a follower of Jesus, this is reality. This is the future that we have. The moment we pass from this life to the next, when we see Jesus face to face, we will be more alive than ever. And while there is pain with death, I'm so thankful that death doesn't have the final word. Life does. Jesus does. And you look at the back of Travis. Man, he loved Jesus. There was no doubt. I can stand up here today and say with 100% confidence that Travis had given his life to Jesus, that Jesus was his everything. The past few months, there have been so much growth in him, opening up about his mental health challenges, sharing prayer requests with us here on Sunday morning. I remember numerous times he had conversations on a Wednesday night where there was a group of men and he was listening to them talk, and he got up the boldness and the courage to ask questions that he had wanted to ask for so long. And he looked at a man in the eyes and he asked some really painful, deep questions. And then men were able to speak words of life into him. This past Thursday morning, a group of us sat around a table for breakfast, and there was Travis, full of joy, the joy of the Lord, and a big smile as we talked about the purpose of life, being so simple as just to walk in relationship with God, to talk with Him, to know Him. Little did we know that a couple days later, Travis would see Him face to face. Man, Travis popped into our community over the years. Popped in, he knew that he was loved by this community. He told me one time that a family that has been a part of Restoration Church years ago invested in him so much, and he looked at me and he goes, "Dave, they saved my life." Many of you invested in him. You loved him, and you knew him. He experienced unconditional love here. And this is one of the things that I love. Because much of his childhood was taken from him, he was able to be a kid here. And yeah, sometimes doing some things where I'd be like, Travis. But this was a place where he could come and be himself. And I know that when he came here, like so many others, he received a hug or a pat on the back from numerous people. And all I can say to all of us is, well done, Restoration Church. Yesterday, as word got out about the accident, y'all did what y'all do. We prayed. We moved into the mess, ran into the mess. We went looking for our family, and person after person looked the young men in the eyes who were in this accident and boldly declared, "We love you." And it wasn't just empty words. It was words backed up by action. We said, "You belong to us." People brought meals. People have had hard conversations. There were tears, screams, frustrations, anger. And in the midst of all of that, the power of God began to stir and bring healing, comfort, and restoration. And we have a long, long way to go. There were four other young men in that accident. Jim, who's 41 years old, is currently in Butterworth Hospital in Grand Rapids with 7 broken ribs and a spleen that they're thinking they may have to take out. Harrison, bumps and bruises, but it was released from the hospital, along with Donovan and Brad. Men also recently baptized, and we have the pictures up on the screen of these men who were just recently baptized, growing in their faith. And we will continue to walk with them. And here's the thing that I want to speak so clearly this morning, is while they made choices on Saturday morning that were wrong, that had devastating consequences, I want you to look at the cross, because those choices are no bigger than the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ covers any and all of the choices and the decisions that we make. Your choices, your decisions, my decisions, all covered by the blood of Jesus. The cross is more than enough. As I reflect on the last 24 hours, I look at Restoration Church and I see the community here, and all I can say is this is the church. A gathering like this is important, but that's not church. People looked at the early church and this is what they would say: see how they love one another. See how they care for one another. And today, I know that could be said about Restoration. Look how they love each other. Look how they care for one another. And we're going to continue to love and care for one another. And there's one person that I just want us to pray for nonstop, and that's Rick Vanderswag. He has poured out his heart and his life and given grace upon grace upon grace to men. And we can have questions about in our minds about how things are done, but no one can ever question that man's motives. and his heart. And so I just ask that we pray for him. I can remember when someone was asked, how big is Restoration Church, to a person who was going through the valley of the shadow of the death. They were asked this because they kept hearing about all that Restoration Church was doing. And the response was simple and powerful, and it's something I'll never forget. The person just said, Restoration Church is massive. And it's still true. Massive not because of numbers of people, but massive because of impact. And I would say this before all of you, as I would go through a fire with any of you. I would be in the midst of it with any of you. Because of your hearts and your character. And today we grieve. And there's sadness, but let me remind you, we do not grieve like others grieve. We grieve with hope. We grieve with massive amounts of hope because we've been born again to a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in Him this morning, we rejoice. We don't rejoice in any present circumstances. We don't rejoice in our ups or downs. We rejoice solely in Jesus. Years ago, when I was 20 or so, I went and heard a message by a pastor, and he said, the title of his message was, What to Do, this is what I wrote in my older Bible. Man, I can't read my writing anymore. What to Do on the Worst Day of Your Life. And then he went through 12 things to do on the worst day of your life. If you want a picture of it, feel free to snap a picture of it. But as I looked at this, and I'm like, there's some good things in here. I'm going to mention just a couple of them. I'm like, I would change the title from What to Do on the Worst Day of Your Life to What to Do the Year Following the Worst Day of Your Life, because there's no way you can do all 12 of these in one day. But the thing that really hit me as I looked at that list is two things that I want us to focus on, and then I want to read a couple verses out of Psalm 107. A couple things that came out of there. And when it comes to tragedy, before I even get there, you and I will experience tragedy. We'll experience trials. And we can't choose when that tragedy will come. We can't choose that it was going to happen on Saturday morning. We can't choose when difficulty comes into our life. But we can choose how we respond. See, the truth is everyone in this room will face grief. You have faced grief. You'll face loss. We face mourning for different reasons, and it can be death, it can be disappointment, it can be discouragement. Even on this Mother's Day, maybe you're sitting here and your kids aren't where you want them to be. Maybe life hasn't turned out how you would wanted it to be. What do you do when life does what life does? When you face grief, you have one or two different options you can take. You can run to the Comforter. You can run to the one who promises to bring healing in life, or you can turn and go towards unbelief. And I would say, the people that I have seen backslide, it's always come as they've started to blame God for things that they thought He had done or should have done. But if you run to the Comforter, if you fall at the feet of Jesus, the thing that I've seen happen over and over again is God slowly, lovingly, carefully, as a father does, piece together a hurting heart. And so you start with this one thing. And I believe we have to get better at this. And it's simply this: weep. Weep. There's a story in the Old Testament when David lost his family. King David lost everything. And it said that David and others wept. Wept. Just cried out. Because as we look at grief, we look at destruction, we look at tragedy, we look at trials in our lives, we look at the brokenness in our world, there is really only one response that we can have and we should have. We should have our hearts broken for the things that break the heart of God. Death was never supposed to be a part of the picture. We were supposed to live forever, hand in hand with the Lord. This world is marked by sin and brokenness, and it should break our hearts every time we see it. The men got together on Wednesday night and we memorized a passage, threw out a memory challenge. John 11:35. Does anybody remember what it was? The shortest verse of the Bible. Jesus wept. See, we really set the high bar for the men. Jesus wept. But that's a powerful verse if you think about it. Because Jesus, the one who is exalted, the one who is high, the one who is mighty, the one who healed the leper, the one who raised the dead, he is also the one who sits with us and weeps with us. See, he wept when he saw his friend pass away. He was broken by it. We have a Savior who weeps with us, who's present with us. And so there's an invitation this morning just to simply weep and let our hearts be broken. But also the second thing, and the thing that I want all of us to do, and the reason that I even asked Nathan, I said, can I just pop up and play guitar and just worship? Is because David said this, and this is the thing that I have known to be so helpful throughout my entire life. It says this, David strengthened himself in the Lord. I think that is so key. There's so many different areas we can run to get strength, to maybe medicate our hurting heart. But the only one that will accomplish anything of value is to strengthen yourself in the Lord. To worship Him, to ask questions before Him, to come with your real heart before Him and just pour it out. And in fact, on Thursday morning, that is the very thing that Travis and the guys, we all talked about. Hebrews 10, come boldly before the throne of God with confidence because of the blood that was poured out for us. And come and be real and honest before Him. The same invitation is to all of us to be real, to be brutally honest before the Lord in any and every circumstance that you're going through. And here's the thing that I know. The Lord responds. The Lord hears. Look at Psalm 107. And I'm just going to highlight just a few verses. I love Psalm 107 because person after person finds themselves in difficulty, finds themselves in trials, finds themselves in times of deep suffering. And they all get there for different reasons. It says this in verse 4. It says, some wandered in the desert wastes. They found no way to a city to dwell in. They were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted within them. So they just wandered. They just got lost. Verse 10, here's another situation that a person found themselves in. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. They're prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Go down to verse 17. Here's how some people got into difficulty. Some were fools through their sinful ways. And because of their iniquities, they suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food and they drew near to the gates of death. Some, by their own choices, found themselves in the midst of suffering and difficulty. But then verse 23, some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight, for they reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. These men just found themselves in the midst of a storm. Just all of a sudden, the storm was just raging around them. But here, in each situation, every person's response was the same. It's repeated four different times. It says this, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And again, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. No matter how they got into their mess, they cried out to the Lord. And here's what I love, the next verse, the next part of the verse. And He delivered them. Didn't matter how they got in, as they cried out to the Lord, as they poured out their hearts to the Lord delivered them. He didn't come and He didn't say, how'd you get in this mess? This is your own doing. What about this? What about that? You shouldn't have been in this situation. No, He just went into their distress and He delivered them. That is what the Lord does. He moves into the mess and He delivers, plucks people out of their pain, heals broken hearts, delivers. Because look at verse 35. This is who the Lord is. He turns a desert into pools of water. He turns parched land into springs of water. And there He lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. I want you to think about that. With the Lord, anything is possible. And so right now, we're in the midst of grief and sorrow. Our hearts are broken. And I don't know what the Lord is going to do in the midst of all of this. But what I do know is He's going to do something. I know that He works best in the midst of pain, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of difficulty. I know that God, we don't want to ever go through the valley of the shadow of death, but I know that as we go through, He's present. And we experience Him in powerful and profound ways. And I know that in the midst of this, God is going to receive so, so much glory. So our hearts are broken this morning. We grieve, but we grieve with hope because the tomb is empty, because Jesus is alive, because Jesus is more than enough. And I want us to sing and just allow our hearts to start to be healed by the Lord. And I want Nathan and the team just to sing that old song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Because He lives, all fear is gone. And I don't want you to stand. I just want you to sit there and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart. I just beautifully know. I just know with so much confidence where Travis is. He's face to face with the Lord, and that gives us hope. But I also know there's so much other work that needs to be done. And we as a church won't shrink back. We're going to continue to move forward and share about the hope that we have in Jesus. But we need to begin by just allowing the Lord to strengthen us. So I just ask, Holy Spirit, would you come in this moment? Would you come where we're at? Would you strengthen us this morning? We are coming and looking to you and just saying, you're our hope. You are everything. We are in so much need of you. So may we find ourselves strengthening ourselves in the Lord over and over and over again. So come, Holy Spirit, let's sing this chorus a few times. Because I know. Point in my life, there's one thing that I have so much confidence in. It's Jesus. Because of Him, I can face tomorrow. Because of Him, all fear is gone. Because of Him, I can have hope. And I know I'm surrounded by friends and family that have that same confidence. And here's the good news, too. Travis had that confidence. He had that. I just want to leave you with one question. Do you have that same confidence? Confidence doesn't come in earthly possessions. Confidence doesn't come in a position. Confidence doesn't come in if a relationship works out. Confidence comes in Jesus. And we were created to have a relationship with God. But sin broke that. And according to Scripture, it says that we are enemies of God, destined for wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, gave up His Son for us. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. But that gift has to be received. And I just would throw this out and just ask simply, have you received the free gift of salvation through Jesus? Is your hope in Jesus and Jesus alone? And if not, I would love to talk to you. Others would love to talk to you. But I would invite you today to confess that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Believe that God raised Him from the dead, and the Bible's clear, says you will be saved. And so may today be the day of your salvation. The Restoration Church, may we today continue to walk forward, to live, to proclaim the gospel, because we serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. I know that He's living, no matter what other people may say. So because He lives, may you walk today with confidence, with your head held high, with your arms stretched out, knowing that you are loved and looking for others. Restoration Church, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud to be a part of this community. May you go in the peace and the strength and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.